morning. Moving to 8 paper 15. The Interpretations Committee received a request to clarify the guidance that applies to the settlement of pre-existing relationships between the acquirer and the acquiree in a business combination. Concerns have arisen over existing divergent interpretations of the guidance set out in paragraph B52 of IFRS 3. Some believe that the expression settlement of pre-existing relationship is clear, that it requires the pre-existing relationship to not be recognized as a separable asset of the business combination. This is also the view of the staff. However, others believe that the business combination does not settle the pre-existing relationship. In their opinion, what has been settled is any off-market element of the relationship. From their viewpoint, this is where the market participant approach would lead. These divergent interpretations have consequences on upon initial recognition and measurement and upon impairment. To this issue, the staff has identified two views for the recognition of the relationship. View A1, the relationship should be recognized separately from goodwill, even though it is an intra-group relationship. That's in paragraphs 14 to 22 of the paper. View A2, the relationship should be recognized separately from goodwill only to the extent that it is an intangible asset of the group post-combination. That's in paragraphs 23 through to 27 of the paper. The staff analysis lets the following findings. Illustrative examples, i.e. 54 to i.e. 57 of IFRS 3, indicate that the relationship should not be recognised separately from goodwill, and a perceived inconsistency exists as to which of the measurement and recognition principles within IFRS 3 should take precedence. In view of these findings, the staff believes that the Interpretations Committee should recommend that the Board should include an improvement in the annual improvement cycle for 2010-2012. The proposed amendment would be to clarify in paragraph B52 of IFRS 3 that the pre-existing relationship should not be recognised separately from goodwill post-combination. The staff has suggested proposed wording in Appendix D to the paper that the Interpretations Committee agree with the staff recommendation.
Right. Scott?
I agree with the staff's view of the accounting. I'm surprised that there's as much diversity, apparently, as there is, that the illustrative example that's quoted in Appendix B has a contract with a value of $8 million, $5 million is the off-market component, $3 million is the at-market component, and the illustrative example says the CU $3 million at-market component of the contract is part of goodwill. So I would have thought we already had the guidance necessary to answer that question. In fact, I wouldn't have thought to write that sentence were I writing this example, so I actually looked at that and said, hey, somebody actually thought of this issue before and tried to clarify it. If we need more clarification, the proposed annual improvement is fine with me, but I actually thought we already had the guidance that was there and we could just point to that in an agenda decision as well.
Sorry. Andrew?
I agree with Scott. I think ultimately the standard is clear on the subject. This is not a reacquired right. It's a relationship, internal relationship. So I agree with the accounting, and I'm not sure we need to go through a whole lot of due process to make that entirely clear. But I don't know whether we could do something by tweaking some of the examples, but I wouldn't I think the issue is clear, so if we need to do an annual improvement, so be it, but I'm not convinced it's necessary.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't think we should do an annual improvement, there's no point in doing one for the sake of it. But if the standard, I believe that it's sufficiently clear as written.
Well, I wasn't aware there was an awful lot of diversity on the point, to be honest, but...
Okay. Laurence?
Similarly to Andrew, I wasn't aware there was diversity on this issue. Well, I don't have strong feelings about the staff proposal for the annual improvement. The only thing that came back to me was that this last sentence that is being added, there shouldn't be confusion with the area quad rights that are laid out in B53 and B35. So to say that the acquirer does not recognize an asset or liability in respect of that relationship unless it represents a reacquired right, such as a franchise. So you need to remind that if it is a reacquired right, yes, it will give rise to an asset. So...
But this isn't a reacquired right.
Yeah, but if we are clarifying that there is no asset and liability, this is because there is no reacquired right, but we need to make it clear.
Okay. Ruth?
Agree with what Scott and Andrew have said. Not aware of diversity in practice. Actually surprised that the question was asked. So I would agree with the staff view, but would also agree that we do nothing. And I'm quite concerned about the wording in the proposed agenda decision because I think it opens up scope for diversity, because it says the Interpretations Committee noted that arguments are well balanced as to whether settlement, etc., etc., etc.
I think that's if we adopted a different view than the staff would suggest.
Yeah.
Okay. Tito?
Maybe I'm the only one who thinks it's not that easy, but when I read the agenda paper, I thought, yes, there are some arguments to recognize an asset here. I mean, the way I see it, when you acquire a subsidiary, take another example, you have internal receivables and liabilities. I think for the purchase price allocation, you would recognize the receivable or the liability, whatever the case may be, and then you would consolidate it via IAS 27. So I've thought by myself, okay, if you apply this rule to this intangible, you would show an intangible, and then you would expense it via the consolidation process, which from my point of view would make most sense, because I don't think it's part of goodwill. I mean, what kind of asset is it? What kind of synergy is it if you have an internal contract? Anyway, I think if we go this route, and I think it would be a good idea to do it, because otherwise it would be probably real hard to come up with arguments that you expense this intangible in the consolidation process. And I would like to make it clear in B52, more clearer to say that it's not an identifiable asset, because otherwise people may say, well, okay, it's not an asset at all, so it's not goodwill, and then we may have a conflict with the example. So we should then introduce the word identifiable to make it clear.
Okay. Tuck?
Yes, exactly the same point. If the question is whether or not standard is clear about intangible or goodwill, it is clear. It is shown that in the illustrative example, 56, it is goodwill. But the question is not that simple. Judging from the combination with the B52 and illustrative example, some constituents may worry about whether 3 million in the illustrative example 56 to go to goodwill or to go to good expense. So there is reconsideration must be necessary on this area. So if the suggestion is just to reconsider for the IFRS 3, I agree with the staff's proposal about on the Appendix A rather than Appendix D, to ask the board for the post-implementation guidance.
Okay.
Scott, did you want to come back on something?
No.
All right. There have been some suggestions that, strong suggestions or encouragement that we don't do anything on this one, that we need to modify the language of the agenda decision. Also, a number of people have questioned whether there is actually divergence in practice at the moment. So perhaps we shouldn't be quite as strong in the final sentence of the first paragraph in identifying that there is divergence in practice, but rather explain in the final paragraph that because the standard is clear, then it's an illustration of this, that we don't expect diversity in practice. And then I think the other comments are related to the middle paragraph, where we shouldn't be encouraging people to think that there may be a divergence, that the arguments are perhaps not well balanced in the sense, but that the standard, if we can perhaps be more specific in the references, standard explains how you would account for these items in this circumstance. Laurence?
Yeah, maybe to head up the case that if there is a required right, the standard already includes guidance to say that you have to recognize an intangible asset. So it has to be a required right. Maybe you want just to remind that.
Okay. So does anybody object to not taking the item on as an annual improvement and expressing that we don't expect divergence because the standard already addresses the issue? Okay. You can go and get the words circulated around. Thanks for that.